Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Hey, welcome back to this Like Dragons Did They Fight podcast episode. I'm here with the Eternal Warrior coaches, myself, Karen Broadhead, Kelly Webster, and Rosalind Geertsen. And we're so happy to be with you today and so excited to share with you a resource that can be so good, healing, and helpful for you and your family. Today, we're going to talk about the Rebecca's and Alexander's Trick books. There's two of them, Rebecca's Trick, Alexander's Trick, by Kelly Webster, illustrated by Melanie Broadhead. So this is an important book to me because Kelly Webster, she's my dear friend that I've known for a long time, and her inspiration for writing this book actually happened when she had registered for the very first time, like you will, you listeners, just register for the very first time. She'd registered for the first time. Just, what's this training, this Eternal Warriors training that you have? And came to my home. I taught a class in my home at the time. She came to my home and we sat around my dining room table with several other women and learned the Eternal Warrior principles. And anyway, it was miraculous how this happened, and we can talk further about that. So one of the things that happens when you can, sweep away the things that are getting in your way and open yourself up to truth that is available to you, sometimes just miraculous inspiration starts coming into your life when you learn these truths that relate to the eternal truths you already know. And so that's just really fun. And then it was really neat to notice that my awesome daughter-in-law, who married my oldest son, she's an artist, not a professional artist, but I knew she's good at drawing and she can do some fun things. And so anyway, she ended up being able to help illustrate this book. So that's just really cool. But yeah, so we're here to share those with you. And before I ask Kelly to tell us more about it, and before Rosalind and I chime in on it, I think the neat thing today would be just to have a story time. And so that's where we're going to start today. I've asked Kelly to just read her book. So which one did you choose, Kelly? Rebecca's?
I'm going to do Rebecca's book because that is the book that I wrote first. Okay. And I will just start, I guess. Okay.
And can I just say, get ready. Hold on to your listeners, because this is such a neat book. And it's such a neat book, and it's so fun to think. Well, you know, it's just fun to think. Afterwards, she'll tell you how this came to her. It's just fun to notice how neat it is. Okay, go for it.
Thanks. My name is Rebecca, and I'm 10 years old. I'm going to teach you a trick that is worth more than gold. I try to be happy, but sometimes I'm not. Mom says it's because I listen to those mean, nasty dots. Dots are workers for Satan, but they don't have a body. And they tell me all sorts of things that are naughty. Here is a picture that I drew for you, so you can imagine what they look like, too. My body is awesome. They are jealous and mad. So they try to say things that will make me feel sad. They usually tell me mean things that aren't true. They try really hard to make me believe them all, too. You can't really see them. You'll just hear in your head, nobody likes you. Just go back to bed. Sometimes I hear that I'm stupid or fat, but I choose not to listen because I'm smarter than that. My mom is so clever, she taught me a trick. It's how to get rid of those nasty thoughts quick. I take all of the bad things that pop in my head and I turn them to good things that are happy instead. Whether I hear it from people or dots, I choose not to keep it as part of my thoughts. If I hear that I'm clumsy or I can't really dance, I say, I'm a great ballerina, and then I go prance. If I hear, you're so ugly, I get dressed up, and then I pretend I'm the beautiful and smart Princess Jen. And I say to myself about those mean, nasty dots, they can't control me, and they can't have my thoughts. You see, if you take all the bad things dots say and make their words good words, those dots cannot stay. If you take all those bad things dots want you to do and turn them to good things, you'll be happier too. So when they tempt me, go push Sarah down. I yell at the dot people, get out of town, get out of my face, get out of my space. All those mean, nasty thoughts, I will not give a place. You weren't going to tempt me to do something naughty because you're made of dots and I have a body. I get to choose what to think and to do. And I choose each day not to listen to you. And then I give Sarah a big hug instead. And I tell her I love her. It's the thing that dots dread. Then they leave me alone until they try something new. But because of my trick, I know just what to do. And in case you were worried, I hear good voices too. I call them my guardians and they tell me what's true. Guardians are my family who went back to heaven, like my great grandma Jones or my dad's Uncle Nevin. It's easy to tell when your guardians are around. They whisper nice things without making a sound. I hear things like, you're awesome, you're talented and sweet. Keep going, don't give up. You're not meant for deceit. You are beautiful, Rebecca. You're a daughter of God. Don't listen to dot people. What they say is a fraud. I choose to listen to the good things I hear and block out those bad things that come in my ear. I remember the good things my guardians say. So if I want those dot people to just go away. So as soon as I change those bad thoughts to good, it's a whole lot easier to do what I should. So here's the trick that can help you feel happy. Turn those bad thoughts around and do it real snappy. Listen to your guardians. Don't give dot people a chance. Keep your thoughts cheerful and go out and dance. The end.
Oh, awesome. Oh, it's so great. So I just want you to know we had a morning. We would meet in the morning in my dining room. And one morning, Kelly came back and we were kind of going around and giving our little report of how we were doing after a week. And Kelly said, you will not believe what happened to me. And yeah, just tell a little bit about that, Kelly.
I will. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I had this whole thing pretty much in my mind. And I just got a paper and a pencil and I just started writing. And within half an hour, that whole thing was written. And you just have to know that doesn't happen normally. I really had very few tweaks that had to be done with this. It just came just clear. And I was so excited because I couldn't go back to sleep because I knew I had class that day. I was like, I just have to read this poem. But I wanted it. It was originally I used my, instead of Rebecca, I used my granddaughter's name. But because we were putting it out to the world, we changed it to be Rebecca. But I couldn't bear the thought. This is making me feel a little bit weepy. I couldn't bear the thought of my grandkids going through life not understanding that those thoughts were not theirs. I want every child to know that visible brain is not just your thoughts, you know, that there's an adversary who is trying so desperately to make you feel so bad about yourself. And it gets you when you're really young. And I battled for years and years and years until I took these eternal warrior classes, not understanding that the adversary was using my thoughts to get to me. And I wanted my grandkids and my family to have a better understanding of what was going on so that they didn't have to accept that as part of their life. It's been such a great, great gift to me to be able to share that with lots of other people just besides my family. It's one of my favorite parts of the Eternal Warrior program because it's made such a difference in my life.
Yeah. And when you say one of your favorite parts of the Eternal Warrior program, you're referring to that principle of not every voice in your head is a trusted voice.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and I have to say something else too about this. I've had a lot of people say, well, why did you use the ancestor? Why didn't you say the Holy Ghost? You know, we talk a lot about listening to the Spirit, and I can't tell you why. I can tell you this, that this book, and it wasn't a book, I just wrote it as a poem that Karen and the rest of the ladies encouraged me to put into as a book. This is the way that the Lord gave it. And I had an experience after my niece and her husband and her baby were killed in a car accident. And my father read, and he's passed away. My father had been dead for, I think, 2 years. And he visited my son, Brett, who is living in Idaho and was all alone. He didn't have any family to be around to be comforted at this time of real sorrow for our family. And when my dad visited him from the other side, he called me just sobbing, "Mom, Mom." I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what is the matter?" Because he could hardly talk. And he said, "Grandpa came to me and he told me that Jim and Carissa are happy and they're so grateful that little Juliana is with them. That's their baby. They had 5 children, 4 survived the car accident. But he let me know that everything was all right." And I said, "Well, how did you know? You know, how do you know that it was Grandpa?" And he said, I knew his voice. I knew his voice. And I think maybe that's why in the book, you know, we know their voice. We know what they sound like. We know that it's trusted. And maybe that's why. So I feel my dad and hear my mom and dad's voice in my head all the time now that they're both passed away. I always tease that there's more interaction now that they're passed away than I did when they were alive. That's why, because they get to come visit more often. Anyway, that was a really powerful experience for Brett and a powerful experience for me that, you know, it's familiar to us. And so maybe that's why the Lord had me put it that way for kids.
Yeah.
To understand a little better.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, you know, and in DNC 84, 88, you know, the Savior actually is talking to us saying, I will go before your face. I'll be on your right hand and on your left. My Spirit will be in your heart. But then, you know, he references angels and angels round about you to bear you up. Yeah, so neat. And President Holland has something he said about guardian angels and, you know, those people from the other side of the veil that are fighting for us that I think it's just so worth reading. And so President Holland says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behind the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And then President Holland says, "In the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have help from both sides of the veil And you must never forget that. When disappointment and discouragement strike, and they will, you remember and never forget that if our eyes could be opened, we would see horses and chariots of fire as far as the eye can see, riding at reckless speed to come to our protection. That's amazing. They will always be there, these armies of heaven, in defense of Abraham's seed. So powerful.
Oh, it really is. And I've had just so much experience now with my angels, not just my mom and dad who passed away now, but other angels. My first time I really knew that angels were with me was when we ran on a pioneer trek and my feet were bleeding. I mean, I've talked about this before in other podcasts, but I could not keep up with the group. And so I got, you know, further behind, and I just kept walking, and I just felt so defeated. And I heard them say to me, "Kelly, you can do this. We did this. We're right here with you. You can do this." And it really did. The words "bear you up," really, that's the way it felt. It felt like I had my peeps on either side of me who had gone through this. I was only on day two, and I was whining and complaining. They walked the whole way across America and did this, hungry and cold. And anyway, I felt them. They helped me. I was able to do what needed to be done, despite the fact that my feet were bleeding. I lost two toenails on that trip. But that was the first time I recognized that there really are angels, and they really do help you, and they really do talk to you. So anyway, that was, I call them angel whispers all the time now, because I've tuned in to, and I've asked them for help every morning. I ask them for with my day to get me through some tough things. So.
Yeah, it's so good. Rosalind, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just think that's so beautiful, Kelly. I've been asking ever since President Nelson encouraged us to seek to receive personal revelation. I've been asking for that. I have not felt a lot of times when I've actually felt angels near, but I know times when they have been. I had a little 3-year-old grandson fall out the 3rd-story window, and he survived it. Very little long-term damage. I had a son who accidentally jumped off a bridge and fell like 25 feet, and he was fine. I just know angels have been involved in my family's life, and I'm so grateful for them. But that was a beautiful testimony that we can be aware of them. And I love this book has helped so many of the people that I've coached, but I never really looked at that. In the page where one of the opening pages says, you said, "For my granddaughters, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And I thought, oh, my grandchildren need this. So thank you for reminding us today that our grandchildren need armor too. And before they get to the point where they recognize it, let's armor them up early. And so I'm going to make sure that this is in all the homes of those who will welcome it. It's such a beautiful way to tell in a really peaceful, calm way. It's not a frightening way. So thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, that was actually one of your worries, right, Kelly? Because, I mean, that was one of my worries when I first started waking up to the fact that, what? The adversary has more involvement in my life than I realized. What? Not every voice in my head is a trusted voice? What? I thought I was a crazy lady all this time, and here I just have power. It's not me doing that to me, you know, it was just amazing and liberating. But I also had this kind of a learning curve and this adjustment to make in my mind, because I kind of came from a home that was like, if you talk about Satan, he's just going to come. Or if you talk about Satan, then bad things are going to happen to you. You know, he'll just tempt you more. So it was kind of like, he's the thing. You know, there is no devil. No, even though he whispereth in their ears, right? Right. It's just, so good. So that's one of the things Kelly was worried about. And tell us a little bit about that, Kelly.
Yeah, I really was worried about that because, you know, I had nightmares from watching The Wizard of Oz for years and years and years into my adulthood. I don't want to be.
From watching The Wizard of Oz, is that what you said?
Yeah, from watching The Wizard of Oz, I had nightmares and I was like, I don't want to scare these kids. And I just want them to know, you know, they've got power over this. And that's kind of how we ended up getting Melanie to be the illustrator. I had hired a professional artist to be the illustrator for this book. And I tried to collaborate with her. She could not catch the vision. She had the most beautiful pictures, but they were scary. And I'm like, no. Dot people are just dot people. They're just like, you know, dashes. And I'm sorry that you listeners can't see what an amazing job Melanie did. But I just let Melanie have her free reign at this. I kind of told her, you know, I don't want scary pictures. I want these pictures to look like the kids could have drawn them, you know, themselves, the pictures. And she did an amazing job. And the only thing I had to change when she did that, you know, she presented it to me, was that the dot people were the same size as the kids. And I said, now, we're the crushers. They have to be small enough that these kids can know they can crush. They can crush these little dot people. So she had to make them smaller. That's all. That's the only change. I absolutely loved that there was no frustration, no trying to, you know, convey what my thoughts were that I needed her to do. She got it immediately. She got what I was trying to convey in this book. And the dot people are little and they're nothing. We are the crushers. And I don't say that in the book, but I tell everyone that I talk with, yeah, they have no power, but not when we use our power. So that was, and the other thing that I did do, because I, you know, wanted to do due diligence, there was, and he's passed away now, but Jim Hurst, he was a renowned psychologist and actually did a lot of work for the church after he retired to help the missionaries with their issues. But I had him look over it and he did a thorough examination of it. And the original book said that she was 8 instead of 10. So I had to change it to 10. He said that 10-year-olds were much more equipped to understand and not be frightened by what I was saying. So that's why I made that change. And in the introduction to the book, I talk about why I wrote it, what brought me to that point, and just a little word of warning that if your kids haven't already been having a discussion with you about Satan and his influence, to make sure that they do and that they're okay with it, you know, about the plan of salvation. We're doing a much better job teaching our kids at a much earlier age about the adversary and about their minions and then we did when I was a child. Like Karen said, we grew up in a time when you just didn't talk about Satan ever, you know. He's like Voldemort to the kids of our generation, you know, that we were raising.
He who must not be named.
Yeah, couldn't do it. Could not do it. We just didn't do it. So, yeah. So I was very appreciative that he would take the time and really give me a detailed review of the book so that I would know that it was safe to put out there, because I certainly didn't want to give anybody nightmares. So,
yeah. And you know what? The illustrations are just so child friendly for sure. And they do look like, in fact, it even depicts a child drawing these pictures, right? Like when you say,
yeah,
you know, here's a picture that I drew for you so you can imagine what they look like too. And so, yeah, it actually shows the girl holding her crayon and drawing a picture for us. Yeah, it's so great. So one of the things your book points out that I think is really neat, because you give lots of empowering things in this book to children and to any adult that's reading it that needs to learn these things too, right? So, you know, one, the awareness that not every voice in your head is a trusted voice, and two, that you can do something about it.
Yeah.
And then third, here's what you can do about it, right? And so anyway, I think the first thing you mentioned in the book that we can do about it is, it says, you know, just change the thought around, think something happy instead, right? Like that's the first idea.
Yeah.
And the second idea is, my body is awesome. They're jealous and mad. So they tried to say things that will make me feel sad. They usually tell me mean things that aren't true. They try really hard to make me believe them all too. And then it goes into, so here's a, for instance, of things I might hear about my body, about me personally. And then it gets all the way to even wanting to hit somebody, right?
They tell you.
And was it her sister?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Friends, whoever.
Yeah. Tells him to hit somebody, and then just shows that, you know, the page that says, you know, let's see. Oh, it says, you're not going to tempt me to do something naughty because you're made of dots and I have a body. So anyway, there's a couple places in here where you're saying, my body is powerful because I have a body. It makes me, it's a great gift that I have. And mortality, it opens a conversation for parents to talk about, you know, gaining a body, coming to mortality, and that our body has power and how important it is. And that, you know, we learn in Eternal Warriors that part of warrior chemistry is using our body to help change the chemistry, the feelings we're having, to neutralize the spin that we might be in with a mood battle. But yeah, I get to choose what to think and to do, and I choose each day not to listen to you. And then I give Sarah a big hug instead. This is after she was tempted to, you know, to hit somebody. Then I give Sarah a big hug instead and tell her I love her. It's the thing that dots dread.
That, you know, I love this principle so much. I just have to share really quick. I just got back from girls' camp, and one of the things that I've been doing is that very thing. When someone frustrates me, irritates me, I remember they are not the enemy. And I lean into love. And I had some girls that were a little bit disrespectful, and I remember this trick. I'd use it a lot, you know. I just put my arms around them and told them how much I loved them and sent them on their way. So I could deal with the frustration. And it helped immensely to keep contention out of our girls' camp. Just knowing that trick, that Satan hates it. He hates it when he's trying to get you to snap and be rude, or, you know, bite your husband's head off or whatever. If you just say, you know what, I'm just going to do the one thing that you hate. I'm going to love. And they run away. It's like they are gone. They can't stand love. They cannot stand love.
Yeah. And you know what? It speaks to the connection. You know, so many people have promoted connection. You know, looking for connection, being somebody else's connection, and then just, you know, connecting out, connecting up, you know, how important that is in fighting our spiritual battles. Rosalind, do you have anything?
really, when I look at this book, it's almost kind of like a microcosm of what we teach in Eternal Warriors. So many of the lessons are encompassed in the things that are taught so simply here. It's really a beautiful thing. I love that. Like, you brought out the point that our body is a tool. And I love that thought to give to the youth when they're young so that they can grow up not falling for his lies about you either hate your body and complain about it, or you worship it to the point that it becomes more important than other things. This teaches so many of the really basic points that we try to teach. And I love that. I think that's one of the most vital things that people learn as they go through the Eternal Warriors program, is to discern between the thoughts that they're hearing and to recognize that our main goal is to have the spirit with us. And if a thought is bringing us away from the spirit, then use your tools. And so we teach tools so that they always have a tool to turn to in every circumstance, so that they can get back to level zero and feel the spirit and be guided by it, get out of Satan's influence. So well done, Kelly. I just think beautiful work. And thanks to Heavenly Father, right, for inspiring you with that. And
absolutely. I'm like, I cannot take credit for this one. I can take credit for waking up at 2 a.m. That's, and having courage to go and try and get it put into a book. That I did have to really get outside my comfort zone. And just even talking about it today is out of my comfort zone. It's hard for me to talk about me and something I've done.
Yeah, but oh, what a beautiful thing with his help you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. Credit goes to the Lord, for he gave it to me. I just wrote it down and had the courage to get it into a book form.
Yeah, so good. It was interesting. I was, sending some resources to a mother that I'd recently met with to consult about some of the things at her home that she was worried about, to see if we had resources here at Life Changing Services that would serve her family. And one of the things that I told her about was this Rebecca and Alexander's trick. I said, yeah, we have a book for children that you might be interested in. And there's actually two of them, one for a boy and one for a girl. And then I said, I'll send you that after we're done meeting. I'll send you a link for those books. And I also was going to send her a link to the Mama Trauma, Now What book. And so I went on, and I didn't realize that you can select how the books that you're looking at, because our books are put in categories, like the ones that your books are in, maybe more than one category, but the one I was looking at was the one for parents or families. And so, because I knew that's where my book is for sure. And I opened it up and I didn't know you could select. So how will these be presented? And you could put it in the order of popularity, like of all these books in this section, you'd like them to be listed for you in popularity. And your two books were the most popular of all the books. And I was like, what? I was like, that's really fun. I'm going to tell Kelly that. So that's
I did not know that. That makes me laugh.
It's not an overall. It was just in that category, right?
Right.
It was in that category of four families and parenting. Yours was the most popular book. It was neat. Yeah. So in the back of the book, you have suggestions for parents that I think are really helpful. And I just think that might be useful for us to read through those and discuss them a little, if that's okay. So yeah, Rosalind, would you mind reading the first one? It might not need any discussion, but yeah, we'll just read through them.
Okay. Let me happy. Whenever a child states a negative about themselves, open up the discussion about where those ideas come from. Understanding where the negative thoughts are coming from and helping them realize that they themselves are not bad because they have these thoughts will help minimize negative feelings they might have about themselves.
Ah, so true, right? Well, yeah, help them realize that they themselves are not bad because they have these thoughts, right? How many times, even as an adult, you're like, how? Why am I having that bad thought? Like, that is such a weird thought for me to have, right? But yeah, that they're not bad, and it will help them minimize negative feelings they might have about themselves, right? Because if they hear on the outside, if you say bad things to anybody, that is like so naughty. We don't talk like that. But if they hear it in their own head, talking like that about themselves or thinking things about people, then they would think, I must be bad.
It makes me think about this little 10-year-old boy in a family when I did a family class of Eternal Warriors, and I had gone home and the mother texted me and she said, her little 10-year-old son came to her and said, Mom, I'm not a bad boy. And he'd been thinking he was a bad boy because he's having some bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, oh, so grateful for this.
Yeah, it is so awesome. Okay, I'm going to read number two. When you hear your child express negative things about themselves, use Rebecca as a model. Have your child write out the negative, scratch it out, and write the positive in its place. Have your child read aloud the new positive about him or herself, using as many of the senses as possible will help reinforce the positive, and the subconscious brain will accept it more easily as truth. Here's an example, right? Writing it, saying it, hearing it, or reading it. So, Kelly, explain that more, would you please?
Well, again, we're using our awesome body. So if, and again, you readers are, I mean, you listeners, can't see it, but she has on a paper, you know, I am clumsy, I'm fat, I'm ugly, all those things. She scratches those things out and then she writes her truth. And we talk a lot about the truth tool, you know. So instead of saying I'm clumsy, she turns it to I am elegant. Instead of saying I'm stupid, she says I am smart. Instead of saying I am ugly, she writes down I am beautiful. But when I say use all the senses, as she's writing that, she's using her hands, she's writing that, she's using her brain to write it, but she says it out loud with her mouth. You know, when she hears herself saying it, she's listening with her ears. So we're using a lot of the senses. And Elder Anderson talked about this in conference. And this is after I wrote the book. And again, this is all the Lord. I am not smart enough to have thought all this stuff through. But he talked about when you're having a struggle with your testimony about Joseph Smith to actually write it out, say it out loud, record it, and then listen to it. Because if you can hear it in your own voice, it will help cement it better in your subconscious. And that's exactly what happens when we do these kind of things. When we write our letters to God, sometimes I have to read it out loud so that I can hear the truth better when I'm writing and doing things. And sometimes when we say it out loud, the negative things that we're feeling, then our brain will go, wait a minute, we recognize the truth better. You know, that just sounds silly when you actually say it out loud. So that's kind of what I meant by that. You know,
that's just excellent.
Yeah, the more we use every part of our body, the more our brain will accept the truth and will recognize the truth better.
Yeah, that's so excellent. One of the things that to think of is, if you try to win your battles just in your own thoughts, then you're much more vulnerable to never win your battles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the adversary's playground. He understands that, you know, you can know this is not your thought, but because you don't do anything to fortify the, you know, and kind of pull out that weed, fortify this and put something else in there, I'm still winning because the synapses, the neurons in your brain are all connecting this, right? And we're creating neural pathways that will support these thoughts. But if we do something, it breaks that and protects that more. So awesome. So see it, say it, hear it, write it. It's so good. Like, you know how people talk about seeing yourself in a mirror and saying to yourself those things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another C you could throw in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Okay, let's hurry and read these last two.
Awesome.
Will you read three?
Sure. Drawing pictures of the negative influences in a child's life can be much easier for them than communicating it in words. Using the pictures Rebecca drew as a model might help your child communicate more easily what is bothering them.
So good. That's really awesome to slow it down and let's have some interaction at a level that we're creating and connecting, having a little bit of fun together. Because don't we as parents in our busyness, like, where's that thought coming from? You know, that's all we might say after we've taught them that this is going on, right? Where's that thought coming from? But if we can empower them to be the teacher, right? Be the teacher and to teach themselves while we're connecting and creating and allowing them that time to just slow it down and just say, you know what? Okay. We've got our bucket of crayons here and our, you know, it's just so great because that is, I can tell you that that's a real thing. Once you learn these principles as a parent and you're realizing I want to arm my children with this information, it's interesting how, you know, especially if your children are a little older, like, you know, maybe 11, 12, 13, 12, 13 and up, it's, they can kind of resist what you're saying. And if you say the same thing often and it's, you know, anyway, I just know in my home, my kids were kind of like, yeah, we don't want you to tell us anything about that anymore, you know, but maybe had I gone about it a little more, you know, earlier, especially when they were younger, right? And settled into this, you know, place where they could understand it better and we just had a language around it. That's pretty neat. Any other thoughts about that?
Oh, I just wanted to say this too, that sometimes can really show us their understanding through their artwork. So we'll get a better feel of, are they really understanding what I'm trying to teach them? Or we'll get a better understanding of, oh my goodness, they're really adding some major stuff here when you see what they draw, you know, that they aren't able to articulate through their voice. So this has been a really helpful tool for a lot of people who are working in the industry to help children. This tool of let's draw it. Let's see what, you know, how this is making it. So what does this picture tell me about your feelings? I love that tool. Okay.
So good. Okay. And the final suggestion for parents is using physical actions. For example, in the book, it points out dancing, getting dressed up, and hugging somebody is another tool in using the body to send positive messages to the brain. Using our physical self to help build our emotional and spiritual self brings about better results. So, .. go out and dance. !! So good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Kelly, do you have any other thoughts about this before we go? And Rosalyn, you too.
My biggest thought about this is that I love that the Lord trusted me enough to give this to me, to give to people. I, you know, I've always battled the adversary since I was a little child about my words.
About your words?
Words? About my words. My words.
Words. Okay.
And but I had good parents who always championed me about my, because I've always liked to watch, to write poetry. I love writing little things like that. And they just always championed me. You are so awesome at that, Kelly. You're so good at that. And so whenever the adversary would put into my head, you know, that's such a dorky thing to write about, or that, you know, that nobody cares about what you have to say, you know, because my parents were so good at championing me, he didn't win that battle. He won a lot of other battles with me that I quit doing talents I could have developed as a child, but he didn't with the words. And so I'm just really grateful that the Lord allowed me to be the instrument for this one.
We are too.
The one thing that I would say to the listeners is, using Kelly's example, she didn't know this was in her. She didn't know that she could do something that would affect so many people. And I think we all are in that place that Heavenly Father can use each one of us. And so there's something inside you that you have to give. And so use the example of this book, use affirmations to claim your truth and watch for those opportunities. And who knows what you'll bring to the world. So just find a way. And if we can work with you to help you find that way, we'd love that, to cast out the negative thoughts and to recognize that you've got potential to bless the world, and come work with us. We'd love to help you see that potential.
That's a great point. And I'll just say amen to that, because I don't know, Kelly, if this ever would have come if you weren't part of a team, like if you hadn't been connected to other women who were like-minded and knew, oh my goodness, Kelly, this needs to be a book. And because she did, she resisted that. No. And we kept asking her about it and, you know, supporting her to find what she needed. And anyway, and then once she had written it, yeah, it was just lovely to be able to just be a witness, stand as a witness for her. Like, this was something that she received through inspiration. And it is such a cool resource. And to be able to, you know, have her send it around and see who was interested in putting it on their store. So that's another reason why it's so important to connect when you are learning how to win your own personal battles. Because often when we think we can just take care of it ourselves, and the sooner we can realize that we are so much stronger together, the more successful and the more joy we're going to feel in our life, because we have someone that is not us that can say, you can do this. You are so talented. You're amazing. And, you know, people that are trying to grow often are under attack with the adversary being very unhappy with that, because I had you where I want you. Now I want to keep you there. Right. So when you're breaking the chains of whatever kind of thing binds you in your thoughts and in your beliefs and your stories that limit us so much, it's so valuable to have a friend, a mentor, a coach, and a team that can just support you. So cool. So that's another awesome thing. So I invite you to go to lifechangingservices.org. And at the very top of that page, it's not the tabs at the top, but it's at the very top in the right-hand corner, it says store. And that's where you're going to find this book. It's so great. So yeah, thanks for listening. And we'd sure love to hear from you. You on that same website, you can look under the training and support tab and find the coaches page. And that's where you'll find a lot of the coaches here at Life Changing Services and specifically, it also will point you to the Eternal Warriors training. But yeah, you can just look us up and see us there and set up a meeting with us about coaching for you, about joining a group. So thanks so much. We're so grateful for this resource. Thanks for your time listening. Thanks, Kelly and Rosalind.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach. This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You will find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.